Aren't you glad about it this morning? Go ahead and give him a good hand clap of praise. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed church here last night? Brother Terry, that was another five-star, buddy. Just a five-star sermon's all I can tell you. We certainly enjoyed that last night. Very interesting. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Glad you're here. How many of you come to have church? How many of you come because you are the church? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad God gave you a great desire to be in His house? Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, point at them, do something to them. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of it, guys. Let's sing just a little bit more of that. Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Well, God bless you this morning. We'll let you be seated for just a little while we look at our prayer request this morning. This actually is a prayer request. I apologize to Brother Carter Lawson. I had misplaced this prayer request, and I found it, and I just wanted to apologize to him because it's maybe a week or so that I've had it and just misplaced the thing. But he asked for prayer for, a brother has asked for prayer for his pastor. He has a torn rotator cuff, just really needs prayer, suffering from high blood pressure and is a diabetic. Also, they're asking for prayer for the wife of this pastor, that the Lord would just be mindful of her also. So let's remember those needs. Hey, brother, we got just a little bit of a roar coming from somewhere. So if you could do something about that, we'd appreciate it. Brother Joel Moyer says, please continue to remember my wife in prayer. Pray that God will heal her, so that she can return to her post of duty. Continue to remember my family in prayer. An unspoken prayer request that God knows all about. So let's just commit those needs to the Lord this morning. Please pray for Victoria and myself fighting a stomach bug. Thank you. Brother Jim Hughes sends that in. So let's remember that need today. Continue to remember Jill Fleeman in prayer as she continues to the battle. So let's remember that prayer request today. Also, Sister Shirley Robbins suffering with her back. She had some spots removed from her forehead, and it is in a lot of pain this morning. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Let's just commit that to the Lord. Brother Samuel Shuffler says he wants all of you to know that he loves you. Brother Samuel, we want you to know we love you too, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Jerry Glenn sends in this testimony this morning. About a year ago, we asked the church to pray for our neighbor's only son, Scotty, who had a severe stroke. Only in his 40s at first, they thought he would pass away from this stroke, but he was sent to a nursing home for a while. However, God had had mercy on him. He's not only out of the nursing home, but he's again working with his father on a cattle farm, and his parents just want to say praise the Lord and thank you for your prayers for that young man. So may God bless that family. I want to pray for Sister Sponcia. She'll be dismissed from the hospital today. Is having a lot of pain from the surgery that she had on her knee. So let's remember her as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Joanne Tessa. They put her back in the hospital for diverticulitis and pneumonia. She's also recovering from knee surgery. So let's remember that need today. I want to pray for Sister Boone, also Sister Clara. They both are not feeling well today. So let's remember those folks in prayer. Can the saints pray with me for a home for me and my husband? We are now living with our son and his family. We desperately need a place of our own. Thank you, and may God bless you. That's from Mr. and Mrs. Charles Hamilton. So let's remember that need as we pray today. Brother Carter Lawson sends this in to remember a young lady on drugs. She desperately needs prayer. May God bless. So let's remember that need as we pray today. My daughter's neighbor got a pit bull. This made her family so uneasy just to go outside. So we prayed, and God answered. The dog is gone. So praise the Lord. That dadgone dog is gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I could understand that. That would be, I'm scared of them dogs too. Well, I'm scared of a dog about that little. But anyway, we certainly thank the Lord for answering that request this morning. Let's make this announcement today. We want to welcome two brothers from Indiana, Brother Sonny and Brother Isaac. They're on their way home. Where will those folks be? Would you just lift your hand this morning? Give them a nice hand right back here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning you'd like for this group to pray about, we know we're serving a prayer answering God. Sister Carol, God bless you. Brother Donnie, God bless our pastor and his wife. Back home, thank the Lord for traveling mercy. We're glad they're back home, aren't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Could we stand together this morning? Brother Daniel, if you'd come, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these prayer requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. God is so mindful of us. He loves us so much. Aren't you glad you're serving a God that loves you? Aren't you glad you're serving a God that loves you this morning? Praise the Lord. Brother Daniel, we love you, buddy.
Amen. That was a great sermon last night, Brother Terry. Blessings in the homeland. I was reading this morning about Zacchaeus, who he climbed up in the sycamore tree. And Jesus came by and he said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today. You know, the amazing thing about that was that he knew his name. To my knowledge, they had never met before, but he knew his name. And God knows our name today. He knows everything they ought to know about us. He knows about these prayer requests. He's just waiting on us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Let's pray over these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be in the service today. So glad to have Brother Donnie and his wife back with us. God, we just appreciate them so much. And God, we thank you for the service that we were seeing last night. For your presence, how you came down among us. And God, we are thankful for what we know that you're going to do today. God, we just pray that you'll take complete charge of this service. And God, we now bring our needs, our requests before your throne. God, you know each one of them even before we ask. And God, we know that you're the healer of all diseases. And God, it's by your stripes that we are healed. And you said, whatever we ask in faith believing, you do it. God, we pray that you sing out deliverance, sing out salvation, sing out healing to those that are in need. God, those by the way of the internet, whoever they might be, God, I pray that you'll be with them. God, we commit this service fully into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we'll give you the praise. Amen.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Can we say God bless our streamers? God bless our streamers. Amen. Somebody had asked that we would sing this song as a congregational this morning. The holy hills of heaven, they're calling to us, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can sing that song this morning. Brother Harry, if you lead us in the verses.
The holy hill of heaven called me to mansions right across the sea.
Are gonna burst wide open.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together this morning as we get ready to go on into the service. Brother John Linichek has a song for us. If you come onto the platform, then the choir has a song. I don't know who's going to help Brother John, but all of you get up here real quick. Real quickly, let's get going this morning. Don't have a lot of time to waste. I'm going to tell you something about Brother John's wife. This happened many, many years ago. Sister Meredith, I don't even know if she'll remember it or not. But is she here today? Where is she at? Raise your hand so we can see. There you are. She walked up to me out on the porch here one morning. This is the truth, Brother Rob. She walked up and pulled on my coattail. She said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I'm 4. So she's a little bit older than that. And if she ever wants you to guess how old she is, Brother John, just don't say. She'll tell you. But we're so glad to have those folks back. They're back home with us today. Give them a good hand this morning. Praise the Lord. I feel like praising Him. Yes, I feel like praising Him. Oh, let's praise Him in the morning. Praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Singers a nice hand this morning as they sing.
Eager eyes. across the waves. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue.
Up inside, you thought I was to die for. to die for. Little bride, he thought you were to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for that today. A lot of folks would look at us and evaluate us and think, goodness, ain't worth a Pepsi and a Snickers bar. Ain't worth a piece of fat back and black eyed peas. But God gave his all. If he can somehow be able to convey that value to us, amen, to where we believe it that way. Don't you love him today? So appreciate his grace. Let's turn to Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 4. Sorry, I want to say how much we appreciate you praying for us while we was gone. Trip to Switzerland. The brothers did a really great job ministering, and Brother David Meyer was the interpreter, and then another couple of brothers that I didn't get to meet them, but I also had Russian translations that was going on, Polish, several different things. I mentioned to the church last night that there was people from 72 nations around the world that were streaming those services. And then they, of course, post them on a website, and there'll be people that will still listen to them for many, many months to come, no doubt. It's amazing, as I heard somebody say it not long ago, that the last predestinated seed will cost a lot to reach them. And you think about it, of the gospel, it has never been to where it could be reached the way it is right now. Paul and his great, great insight more than likely would not be able to comprehend that we could stand here today and reach around the globe. And those meetings are in Switzerland with 72 different nations that were in at one time, being able to hear the service. That's just those that were streaming, which is those that are archived. But think how that the progression of science. Oh, sure, there's wretchedness on the internet and there's all kinds of stuff, but it's up to you how you use it. That's right. It's like any other thing that comes off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Brother Jason Watkins was in Australia, Brother Mike Price, and different parts of the world, several different brothers going out in different parts of the world, the youth, of course, down in Louisiana. And it just does our hearts good to hear what the Lord is doing around the world. You know, one thing I love about it, it's not rallying around one man. It's not rallying around one person or one church. It's rallying around our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want it to be. There's only one great one among us. In case you don't know who he is, he's Jesus. All the rest of us is dirt bags. Some of you 6 foot dirt bags weigh 240. Some of you 6 foot dirt bags and weigh 180. You're still a dirt bag. You're just like all the rest of us. You need help. You needed saving. You're lost, miserable. That's right. We all needed saving, didn't we? Praise God. Let's look together today at Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. If God, by his grace, somehow would be able to illuminate this to us today, we would forever be a changed people. Listen how he's going to describe her now. A garden enclosed is my sister. My spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard. And for those of you that shared last night in the service, just keep in mind what Brother Terry was dealing with the contrast of Israel and their desert condition, and think about where you were before God got a hold of you, and now this is what you are. You were barren, you were dry, you were desolate. Now your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, and all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, no longer a desert. And you're not just don't have enough for yourself, you've got enough to go around to others. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. Now this is not Jesus. This is Him describing you. If any man will believe on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You ain't going to tell me you're going to drink all that. You're going to blow up. It ain't just for you. It's for others. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake. Now this is her response. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now remember, this is the consummation of the journey, and they are now in the wedding chamber. These are what the words he's telling to her, and this is her invitation to him. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today. Thank you for your grace to us, Lord. We thank you for where you've brought each of us from. We thank you where you've brought us to. But we thank you where we are is not the end of our destiny. This is only the point in the middle, as it were, or closer down to the end of the journey. Before long, it will consummate in the finale of our destiny. That we, Lord God, will return out of this loop of time, out of this circle, and we will merge back into eternity by the streak of the blood of the Lord Jesus, which has covered the block and pulled it back up into eternity itself. Speak to us today, Father, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
I want to speak to you again today on, guess what my title is? An overcomer in the galleries. My, y'all don't even look shocked at that. You can be seated. The king of Turin. Turin is a city in the northern part of Italy. The king of Turin, many, many hundreds of years ago, liked to get out and walk among his people. Turin was a place that still is, has quite a few shops along the palisades, along the sides of the city works. And this king, he was a different sort of a fella. He liked getting out among his people, and he liked seeing the shops and the wares along the side, the goods that was being sold and made by the people, and the services being offered. But Turin had quite a bit of rainfall. So this king, even though he liked getting out and going through the shops, he did not like getting wet. He didn't like getting rained on. I understand. So you risked that coming to church today, didn't you? So this king come up with an idea that he would be able to fix this so that he and the people would be able to have the enjoyment of getting out and going up and down the shops and touring around through this place without getting soaking wet. And it was that he designed a gallery. Now, it was many, many hundreds of years ago, but yet this gallery is still something that is typical for Turin, T-U-R-I-N. It is something that the man had that he wanted to do for himself and for the people. And then each shopkeeper would
put their shop inside of there, and they would have a overhang, as it was, Brother Phil, a porch, and they went around in the Coptic type of design, because it was not square as it was then, but more like this in a half circle or quarter circle part of them. And it was to where that the tops of these buildings would catch it and the facade in the front part. And they made a primitive type of guttering system that would take the water away from it and drain into the city streets. The people would be able, along with the king, to go from one shop to another, be able to get the goods and services that they needed. And they were able to do it, even though the weather on the outside might not be cooperating. And they would call this a galleria. Now, for those of you that are familiar with Birmingham, Alabama, you know that there's, especially, I better maybe not mention this to the sisters, but there's quite a place down there for shopping. Brothers, forgive me. Quite a place down there for shopping. Now, they have all kinds of different things, and this is the name of it. It's a common name that's used around the world. London has several, or Copenhagen has several. There's all different kinds of them. So the term gallery and galleria has been around for 15th, 16th century, something like that. So it's something that is quite common. But whenever I began to hear about this king, I could see a similarity of our Lord Jesus and what he wants to bring out of each of our lives. Now, in this gallery of Turin, each person was not selling the same thing. Some were selling goods that were made by themselves, or spices which had been transported from the east. Some were selling things like myrrh and frankincense, which would have come from Arabia. Some would have been selling sandalwood and different fragrances, which was quite rare. And they would have had in the gallery, no doubt, a range of those who would be able to afford cheaper types things. And they would have had pearls and whatever more stones that they would have had. So you would have, it would have been a gallery of delights, as it were, according to what your individual ability would allow you to be able to buy and partake of. You understand what I'm saying? So it was not limited just to the rich or the middle class or even the poor, as it even is today in the city of Turin. So it would have been according to your particular ability and your taste. So you would be able to go in there and go from shop to shop. And then, of course, because it was on one side of the street and on the other side, they would have it on the end to where you could loop around and go around it. Or if you particularly needed to go and had this great desire to go, you could run out and go across in the weather. Now, looking at this, I myself, I see our own lives and representation of what we are in the gospel as well. Each of us are not exactly the same. Our abilities that we give to God are not the same. And our abilities as housewives and ministers and deacons, and each of us are so diverse. And to be honest with you, I'm so glad that the new birth does not change us all and make us absolutely like each other. Praise the Lord. I'm glad the new birth leaves that element of diversity, and I believe myself, and I can prove it by the scripture and the message, that even in eternity, diversity will be part of who we are, because it's part of who God is. So even when we get there, there'll be great, great differences among us. Now, there'll be no argumentative differences, of course, but each of us will be different. We're all not going to look the same. There'll be people with red heads and some with black and some blonde and this and that and the other. We will all be diverse. As we look in the gallery, and I'm reminded as I stood many years ago in Rome and in Egypt and been privileged to be able to see different galleries, and one that was really outstanding to me was the Museum of Egyptology in Cairo in Egypt. And I like history myself, and seeing things the way that they made them and all that, I marvel at it, not having tools the way we do today. But part of the treasures that was there in this particular museum was the artifacts of King Tut. Now, you remember about King Tut with his mummy, that he was a boy, and he was very, very young. And because of the way that they believed in the afterlife, whenever these people would go, then they would want to put everything in their pyramid that they wanted with them in the afterlife. They would also put offerings for the gods of death and all of that. So they would mummify animals, and they would have foods and fruits and nuts, and they would have all types of different chariots. And because the death was a river of death, they would have boats, and they would have all types of different things, and they would fill this pyramid with all these types of things. And they would also, on the walls, they would have the writing. So they was going to appease the gods of death, and they appease the gods that would cross the river. So all of these things was the symbols of them crossing over into the afterlife, and then what they would need in the afterlife once they got there. So they would become mummified, and they would mummify their animals, their pets, and whatever more. And then they believed, of course, once they got to the afterlife, that once they reached that place, they would be breathed into eternal life, and there they would live. These were merely symbols, thinking they would take them with them. And as I stood there, looking down through there and seeing the different pyramids, symbolism that was there in this, and it was one gallery, as it were, after another, one time frame after the other, from Cheops, one of the first pyramid builders, coming up to King Tut, and on and on and on to the valleys of the kings, just different periods of history, and they would have them separated in these galleries. So it was as it was displayed that you would say, maybe you look here and something you'd see 2500 BC to 3000 BC, and then they'd have another time frame, and maybe it would be 1500 to 2000, and they would break it up in 250 or 500 year increments, and each one of them was broke up in a gallery. So in that time frame, they would have the tools that they would use, and they would have different drawings of things maybe that they had during the time. And it represented a story. Now it represented, and it would be Egypt's layout of what they knew as far back as they would keep records, and you would stand there and watch it, and it was recorded history in the lives of the individuals that made up Egypt. Now myself, as we look at our own lives, we see that we are similar in the same way. Now for those of you that stream the service that I preach over in Switzerland, I might type back on this just a little bit. That whenever God got ready to use the earth, and it reflected the original image of what God wanted it to be in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the contents of the earth, there was no geological records of any type of scars or pain or issues or things that was out of cater in the original creation. And we know that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and then period, and then there was millions or billions of years that happened, and there was something that lapsed between verse 1 and verse 2. And then we pick up on it, and we see that the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And yet we know that God never created the earth in this void state or in the state of darkness. So something happened during this time. It's called the primeval time of the geological ages of the earth. So we see then that God began to move upon the earth and bring the earth back into his favor. But something happened on the earth, and scientists and those who study such things, and they find the dinosaurs and fossils, and they find all of that stuff that is in the earth. So the earth itself contains its geological records of its past. Now when God got ready to give birth again, as it was, to the earth, when the earth was going to be born again, God did not annihilate all of those fossils and all of those dinosaur skeletons and footprints and all of that that was in the earth, but it was as though God was going to leave it in the geological record of the earth's new births. I told you many years ago, Carol and I was in South Africa, and we went down by a great cable car of a thing, went down many, many hundreds of feet into the on the outside of Johannesburg, South Africa, to where they had a mine. And when you get down in there, then you get inside of a little car, and you'd ride this car on a small track. And they got us back through there, however far it was. And then they said, now look up. And now you turn and look up, and here is a dinosaur's footprint. Wow, that's what I said. Wow, how'd that guy do that? So here he is, we're looking up where he would have been laying on his back and his feet up on top of that. Many years ago, Brother Bobby gave me a fern, a frond that's inside of a piece of slate, I guess it was, Brother Bobby, something like that, come out of a coal mine. And they find these hundreds and hundreds of feet deep. Now what is it? It is the story or history of the geological ages of the earth. And this is why, if you really look at it right, I know some of you said, I'm saying, oh, the earth ain't been 6,000 years old. The Bible does not say that, nor does the Message teaching. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God would say, you thought the Bible said that, but it does not actually say that. Now, the order of the world in which God was using it is in the dispensation of six, which is 6,000 years. And we're in that increment of time of 6,000 years, fixing to head over into the Sabbath, which is the seventh day. But God, desiring to use that for whatever purpose, God wanted to leave all of this record in that. And I found the other day, studying it in Switzerland, that there is a place in Nova Scotia, and there is in the strata of the earth this mixture of little sea animals and creatures that are over 29,000 feet deep. Of these sea creatures right on the edge of Nova Scotia, much of Nova Scotia is actually built upon this, but this one particular spot that they found over 29,000 feet deep with nothing but all these sea animals and all these things that are nothing but fossils that had lived millions and millions of years ago. And yet it contains that in the record. You go to the Grand Canyon, one of the greatest places where our earth holds these records, and there the scientists go down to the different creation ages and all them ages there, and there it is written. But yet, how was it written? You could only be able to see it by God accumulatively piling one age on top of another, one annihilation is aware on top of another, and the earth holds her story within herself. But the only way to be able to know that it's even there is because an open scar in the earth was opened up by God when he began to bring the earth in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Now science doesn't know this, and I don't figure that ever let me tell them, but if they would be able to go to question and answers on Genesis 19:53 and would be able to see when the Logos began to move upon the earth, and the earth was like a piece of ice and cinder hanging out in the universe. And remember that God, whenever he wanted to use it, he's not going to totally annihilate all them records, but he's going to start a conversion of this earth and its new birth. A part that is divine, a part that remains elementary as far as in time, it will hold all this within itself. It will hold its scars. It will bury its scars. And for many of them, no doubt they're still laying there that science has never found out to this day. You with me? Amen. Now watch, then when God does this, God writes, leaves the recorded record in the earth, even though he's starting it on its new birth. Now God has a reason, of course. God don't do things just to be doing them. He has a divine purpose for doing it all. So whenever he began to move and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and here hung this ball of ice out there, because by now something had happened in this pre-Adamite condition where it was blown out away from the presence of the Son, and the Spirit of God began to move upon this ball of ice. And the Logos that went out of God moved upon it, brought it nearer to the Son, coming to where it's going to start and stabilize its environment as it turns around. And as it does, the prophet tells us, as he warmed it and spun it around, that the great glaciers begin to melt up in the north. And as they did, they cut down and started sliding down through Colorado, came down through Arizona, and they started cutting out the Grand Canyon. Now, you're the only only way for this record to be really known, all these hundreds of feet deep, was for it to be exposed or opened up. So the Logos now spins the earth around as you have a turning thing in your microwave, and as he does, it warms it up, and as he warms it just enough to where it begins to melt, then they come down and they start cutting out all the caverns and all the crevasses and all these different things that are upon the face of the earth. Now, initially, of course, the polar caps, says they were totally frozen over, as the majority of the earth itself. You know, the scientists teach us that there was ice ages on the earth. Right? There were. There was ice ages on the earth. They're terrified that we're going back into something else and we're going to annihilate and this, that, and other. Don't worry, scientists. Jesus has got it under control. Amen. He that begun this good work in the earth will perform it until it is done. Amen. Well, Brother Donnie, you know, the scientists, and we're doing this by our CO2 emissions and this and that and other. I don't question the things like that at all. No doubt we are affecting this earth, but we will never destroy it. No doubt you've done all kinds of dumb things in your life as a Christian, and you've got all kinds of CO2 emissions in your life, and you've made the office mess. Some of you've made the office gum out of your life that ever was. But in spite of, Lord have mercy, in spite of all of your gumming around, in spite of all your mistakes and all your failures, you will never be able to annihilate the eternal purpose of Almighty God, who ordained you before the foundation of the world. You may carry those records within yourself, but he that begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You see, as the king of Turin began to look around and see the display of the galleries and the art and all the goods and the services by which his people would be able to exchange in his city of Turin, not only for them, for themselves, but for others that would come in. So the Lord God, so the Lord God. Hallelujah. As he looked down through time in order to fulfill his purpose of being and to give himself a reason and purpose of being, the purpose could never be fulfilled entirely in eternity. So time is necessary in order for him to fulfill his own purpose and desire. It was the same with the earth itself. Now the earth, she's in her melting stage, and the glaciers are coming from the top and they are melting it, you know, carrying it on out. I can't keep from laughing sometimes whenever you think of scientists and some of the stuff they say. It takes more faith to believe that garbage than it does the Bible. My, we think we got a lot of faith. If you're an atheist, you probably got more than I do. Come on now. If you believe in theories and John Darwin, this theory of evolution, you got more faith than I do as far as simply believing in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I just take it and believe it. Praise the Lord. But you've got to believe. Can you imagine the chances? Can you imagine the chances of this earth just coming to happen to be so that out in the middle of this certain place in the universe called the life zone, the chances of that happening would be 1 out of 0,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 varmint called out of a bunch of muck and moss, and he come to life, and he changed his mind from being a little bitty nothing, and he wanted to be a frog, and he wanted to be higher, until he got to a human being, hogwash. My God created all of this stuff. Amen. My Father is the author of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can see her as she's spinning now with the darkness around her. And the power of God brings her into view to display what he has in his mind. It's the second go around for sure. It's the second time that he's brought her into this visible, tangent world. It's the second time that he's brought her to this stage of beauty, but this time she comes scarred. This time she holds within herself millions and millions of bones and fossils, memories of the past, of the tumult she was in as she was turning and tossing away from God. And yet, he does not go deep enough in the surface of the earth to annihilate all this. He leaves it for a record. Praise the Lord. He leaves it for a record. Now, were there several different ages of dinosaurs? Possibly. There could have been times, those in the primordial age, when they lived way back yonder, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we know from what the prophet told us in Satan's Eden that the dinosaurs were also in the Garden of Eden. Because they came up to Adam, were there different dispensation by which they could have lived? Of course. You know, we have no idea of knowing of all these things when it was there, but we can see a pattern and a type. But what I see is the king. The king who wants to put in his gallery all this display. I see in your life and my life as individuals, not the king of Turin, not the king of Spain, not the king of Italy, but the king of eternity. That he wants to place our lives in the gallery of Christianity. He wants us to be so on display and hid back under the canopy of the gallery that no matter what's going on out yonder, we are still his children. You see, our king wanted, oh glory, wanted us to be able to display our Christianity when things are going good, when things are going bad, when you got family problems, church problems, financial problems. Your king wanted you to be a billboard in difficult times as well as good times. So what did he do? He designed this gallery. Some of you have your wares, some of you have your goods. Some of you have your things, your experiences that you've traded, some bought and sold, pearls, memories. Yet we look at them and we think, wow. And the whole gallery is owed to one person. You're just one little merchant, as it was in the, you know, you've got your facade there of Christianity, and you're a young man, a young woman, older man, older woman, whatever you are, and you're in this little shop of time. Here you are displaying this little shop. After the meetings in Switzerland, we were able to go around, and Brother David Meyer and his family, such a wonderful host, and we went back to France, which is where he lives at. And they took us to several different places, and we stopped at a great, wonderful place, a chocolate factory. Ah, man. But anyway, we was going, we left from there and went to a medieval city, a medieval town, which still had a castle and the old cobblestone streets and people that were living inside of there. It is quite amazing when you walk up to those places and they date back, one of them, I think, 1305, another 1562, to, you know, some, during that time frame. And those castles that were built all of those years ago are still there. And you look inside the castle wall and there's people with shops. And I, as I walked into those things, I was thinking, how many people have come through here during the days of Luther? One of the brothers told me, Brother Guido said, Brother Donnie, think of it. The Romans walked down these same streets. These same streets. So that was the same buildings that had been there. No doubt they'd been refurbished and redone over and over again. But the same ones that was there. But what was it like a gallery? So there's one here and one there and one here and one there. They were selling different goods now. They were selling CDs. You've never seen a CD in 1503. They were selling all types of lace work and all types of this and that. But what got me was it was the same building that some old guy wrote a bunch of maters and taters and pork and beans or whatever more, and he was selling them. Then another generation and another generation and another generation, yet the same castle on the same hill. Oh my. And I think of us as the children of God. God had Paul out yonder in the gallery, and Peter in the gallery, and James in the gallery. And then it moved from them to Irenaeus, from them to Luther, from Luther to Wesley, from Wesley to Pentecost. And here we are in the gallery. We are the last shopkeepers. Oh, hallelujah. We are the last ones. We're the last one to sell our goods. And yet you come up to them castle walls and you see them big old gigantic things and, you know, hollowed out in the stone. And in my mind, I've got quite an imagination anyway. In my mind, I was sitting there eating lunch. And I could look straight out the window and see a small spot like this shaped like a keyhole. And it was designed so you could shoot from where you were, but they couldn't shoot you up. They couldn't shoot their arrows up. And I was sitting there thinking, how many men got their throat cuts in there? How many men died? How many men shot arrows? I'm sitting there trying to talk and make conversation. But in my mind, I'm going back to 1500s and 1600s and 1700s. It's the way I look at you as people of God. I think, Lord, the battles they've been through, the trials you've been through, the difficulty you've been through. But the same one who started you has brought you safe thus far. And the one who's brought you safe thus far is going to take you on. Think of it, friends. For those castles and those cities and those places, they've outlived the Romans. They've outlived every pope. They've outlived all these governments. And there they are standing. Well, now they're a great big tourist attraction. People come and look at them, ooh, and all, and make their pictures, and my, you know, you walk through and say, this is absolutely incredible. It's something. But what is it? It's another type of gallery. It is a display of what was. I'm walking through there thinking, and people want to come and see what was and think, wow, this is really something. We've got something to point people to, I'm telling you. We don't just point them, though, to a Jesus that used to be, a Christianity that was 2,000 years ago, but we're saying it's still alive and well. Amen. What's it doing? It's another gallery of overcomers. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder in my mind, as we go and we move beyond time, we're in the seventh church age as far as time, but we're in the sixth day of man. Now you have to keep your taps real careful now. So we're in the sixth day of man, yet in the seventh church age, yet in our souls moved into eternity. So we're 6, 7, and 8 at the same time. Wow, you're pretty incredible. So you're living in the 6,000th year of the world order. Now we know that it's moving up, of course, to the millennium. And it's phenomenal to me, but all of this hinging upon the sovereignty of God to bring you and I to this place. Now remember, we're talking about this little Shulamite girl. So she's on her way under the protection of these guards, and they themselves were willing to give their life to help her. They must convey to her, reassure her if need be, that he loves her, that he cares for her. She has taken his heart. He is totally captured by her love. Praise the Lord. And yet in all of her sword and all the ability, it will be up to her whether she will believe the report which has been issued directly from his presence to her. Now thinking of God in the realm of the eternal, that he would drop down and be able to allow, Brother Bam called it a loop of time, he called it a hickey, he called it a block of time, called it several things. And he said one of the meanings of the word hickey is actually a small minuscule misprint in printing. So the hickey reflects misprint, error, mistake. Your middle name and my last name. Error, misprint, and mistakes. Amen. So God wanting to bring himself into clear view, and yet it must be essential to bring it down to this block of time. in order to reveal his greatness, because there was nobody there but him. And we know, we believe that we were part of him, but not there as human beings, or not even there as angelic creations, but as attributes that was in his thinking. Then we come down in this slot of time, and God hinges upon the finalization of all this word, culminating and pulling this little circle back up into eternity. And God focuses upon his word and people being able to believe it. Now, it's not like that you're a robot, that you're pre-programmed. At a certain day, you'll get up one day, hallelujah, I'm the bride, amen, I'm this, that, the other. No, you're not a machine. You are an individual. And yet God works it so that it works by revelation. But revelation will come to you. It presents itself to you. Then you must grasp that revelation and say, God, I need it. I can't do it on my own. I can't see these things. How many understands? You cannot see these things on your own. Brother Donnie, say it slow. Say it slow so I can get it. It's not the speed I say it. It's you opening your heart and letting God drop it down in your heart. Oh, children, don't you say, I've been around for 40 years. I don't care how long you've been around. We need the Spirit of God to help us or we'll miss it. They're getting closer. The smoke is rising from the palanquin. The silver emblems of redemption are coming up the great beautiful chair she's riding. It's overlaid in the purple. They're getting closer and closer. Her nervousness is now more expressed. Will he have changed his mind? Will he still want me? You may ask yourself, does God still want me more than he wanted a universe? He wants you more than he wanted angels. He wants you more than our human minds can even comprehend. He's never changed his mind about his word. But Brother Donnie, I've got so many things about me. I understand. My human frailty and my mistakes and my shortcomings. I understand. And let's look at the earth. We don't know exactly what she looked like before she became so scarred. But we know that by what we're able to see in her now, the strata of her geological ages bear the records of a tumultuous time. As I passed through the Alps the other day and seeing the strata of the rock and seeing how some of them were like this and some as if though something had interrupted and caused the strata of the rock to go up and then all of a sudden it reached this place and then crashed. One of the sisters there brought me and Carol pictures on her phone after I'd preached this about little animals and fossils and things that she saw as she was up in the Alps hiking, walking. In there is the record of the earth's history. But be careful how you look at the word history. H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. Now it depends on how you say it. History or his story. Glory to God. Don't you understand? You're in a part of his story. His story. Your life, even with all of our humanity and all of that, is interwoven in a much bigger picture, friends. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than Happy Valley. It's bigger than one little church over here in Germany or one in Trinidad or wherever more. We're talking about something that encompasses eternity. I mean, Carol was talking about that the other day. I told her, can you imagine the millions or billions of those little sea creatures and animal things that was in that one pile? 29,000 feet. As you know, 5,280 feet in a mile, 1,760 yards. You imagine how many miles deep that is? And that's one spot. And yet it contains all this death, all this suffering, all this heartache. And when God got ready to use it, he didn't wipe it off. But he made the new birth, new earth birth, on top of the old that was there. So the records are there, the scars are there, the issue, the issues are still there, and they will still be there, no doubt, even in the millennium. But I'll tell you when they'll get taken away. When the earth gets her body changed. The earth has been baptized. The blood has dripped on her. But she ain't got the Holy Ghost yet. But when the earth gets the Holy Ghost, all the dinosaur footprints are gone. All the fossils are gone. And when your flesh gets the Holy Ghost, the way your soul got it, all your issues will be over. Amen. They will be gone. So what does God do? He starts letting the Logos now move on the earth. Turning it into a beautiful paradise. I doubt very seriously, but I'll tell you that Adam, when he walked out on the east end of Eden, Eden was a state, and the Garden of Eden was like the capital, which was in the land of Egypt, as you know. The cradle of civilization. So when Adam walked out, he probably had no idea all the scars that was beneath his feet. Why it looks so beautiful. You know, I think we can be the same way. Sometimes we can see a saint of God and we can greet him. And say, oh, that brother has such a wonderful spirit. That sister, they're such a beautiful Christian. If you only knew what lay beneath the surface. Come on, saints. Look at Brother Branham. What a life that had been touched by God. Look at what a man that he was. But look what laid beneath the surface. Come on now. Don't get all upset and being out of shape. It's a truth. God's going to do him exactly the same way. Even though the Lord Jesus was not created in that way. The Lord Jesus taken these scars of geological time, as it were, into his own being, ridiculed, made fun of. He needed to know how we would feel. He was not born with all the scars and all the issues of a past. He didn't have a past. But he allowed himself to go through heartaches and suffering and difficulty and be called names and racial slurs and all kinds of stuff that was said about him, right? Why? So he could help you when they're said about you. He allowed himself to be scarred and torn in his human makeup. It must have been wonderful. The birds are flying from tree to tree. The dinosaurs coming through the paradise of God. No harm in them. Just as gentle as a kitten. And yet beneath the surface, there's a tumultuous past. Lay the record in her geological ages. Oh, I wish somehow I could access the blood of Jesus and dip a paintbrush, as it were, down inside there and paint my mind. Any of y'all ought to have your mind painted of your memories. But they'll always be there. Well, I say always. Until your earth gets a body change. So the issue, oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I got the Holy Ghost. What's that got to do with me? It's your geological past. It's your record of history. You see, even though that we're born again, oh, don't you appreciate the new birth? But really, in reality, friends, when you look at the new birth, the power by which God recreates or brings that seed germ into the image of God and breathes the very life of God into that seed, that is a wonderful thing once it transpires. But in reality, that is the easiest part of your journey. Why? You didn't have much to do with it. All you done was surrendered and God did it. But the rest of your journey is the one that requires constant, absolute constant submission to the Spirit of God. Now remember, as we are a Christian in this life, so the millennium is reflected on the other side, of course, into the seventh day by the way we are now. In the millennium, there will be people that are not born again. There will be people in the millennium that are not in glorified bodies. People in the millennium that will have to be made to come to church. If they don't come to church, I'll stop the rain on the gardens. You say, you, absolutely, I'm a leader here, I will be over yonder. It's just the way it works. If they don't come to the house of God, God say, Donnie, you're real good about dealing with people that don't go to church. Go down there and cut the water supply. Yes, sir, Lord, I'll do it. When I win, stop, no more rain on their crops. Why? They're made to obey the word. That's the epitome of you as a new creation in the same old temple. You see, as the lion will lay down by the lamb, yet your flesh, as long as you're in this body, must be made subject to the millennial king, which is upon the throne of your heart. Does your flesh always want to do it? It don't. But if you don't do it, I'm cutting your rein off. Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to church. Nobody wants me. I'm going to church anyhow because I don't want my water cut off. Praise the Lord. So the very epitome of that, don't you see why we will be fit to rule in the millennium? We're already getting our pre-millennium training right now. Oh my. We are subjecting the heathen to the headship of the word of God. When you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel like going to church, when you don't feel like doing things, you are usurping your millennium protection and subjection of the Spirit of God and saying, we're going to the house of God. And your body says, all right, you win. Your soul can't say, stay home, buddy. I'll use a UFO. Your soul needs your hands, needs your feet, needs your eyes. So what's it do? It steps into its millennium position and says, you are subject to me. Yes, sir. Self says, I don't want to. So says, shut up, self. I'm going to get you now. All right, yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. Forgive me, sir. Yes, sir. That's right. You're the boss here. You're the boss. I keep forgetting that. I want to raise up against you. I'm sorry. But I see. I see some eyes looking under the garden gate. It's a being which was created in time. A being which is essential to express the attributes of the Almighty. He was given a great name and a great title and a great position. He comes into view, of course, once we see him in Genesis, in deceit and lies, trying to pull Eve's mind away from the word. It wouldn't have made no difference how much the devil was in the Garden of Eden if she hadn't stopped to listen. It's the same way with you and I. Oh, the devil, he tells me this and he tells me that. He will, and he'll do it till the day that you die, till you're changed. But it won't have no power over you unless you stop to listen. We get in our mind, friends, that the devil is omnipotent. That's a lie. We get in our minds he's omnipresent. That's a lie. We get in our mind that he can do anything and everything and he's got all power. That is a lie. The only power the devil has, the prophet said, is the perverted power of God. Much of what he does in our lives, we allow him to do. We let him do. I think it's time that we as the people of God rise in our position in Christ Jesus and say, God, I know I'm going to have trouble. I know I'm going to have difficulty. But if you're blessed in the land of Israel and giving them all kinds of crops and this and that and the other, I'm the antitype of that. I want joy. I want healing. I want peace. I want the very things, the fruits of the Spirit of God say I can have. Amen. I like oranges. I like apples. I like grapefruit. But I want my spiritual fruits in my life. I want my life to be so productive, amen, that the Holy Ghost flows out of me to people.
Ah, you wanted to, don't you? But now we enter the hard part. God did the new birth. He changed me. And yet deep within me is the crevasses of time. Deep within me are fossils of hurts, fossils of fears. I have fossils within my being of rejection. I have fossils within me of not being liked. Don't sit there and look at me like here comes some kind of spiritual something. I don't know what I'm talking about. Come on, saints. I'd say most of us have pretty much the same fossils. Some just got one leg more than the other, or maybe thicker than the other. But praise the Lord. Fossils embedded within our geological history. We want to be accepted. We want to be loved. We want to be a part of a family. We want to be a part of a church. We want to be this, that, and other. And then you wonder, oh God, where's all my problems coming from? It's the church. Why don't you open up your eyes and realize it's not the church that's causing your problems? Why don't you realize it's not me causing your problems? Your problems are coming from within your geological being, the record that's written within you. What will cause the great climactic earthquake of Los Angeles?
Come on now, read your brother.
And for those of you who are still waiting for the sharks to swim in the May Company before we go home, let me sound a trumpet. They've already done that in 1971. When the waters raised up on the West Coast, brother and sister Spencer heard it on the radio. Paul Harvey making the announcement in the famous historic May Company. Water coming up in the lower levels and sharks are swimming in the May Company. 1971, which would have still made Brother Billy Paul a relatively young man. Well, I'm waiting for this and waiting for that. You better get your geological act together and get ready to get out of this place. Brother Donna, I'm watching Russia. I'm watching for a woman president. You better get your eyes on another woman called the bride. You better get your life straightened out. Amen. Get your spirit straightened out. Get rid of your attitude that's not like Christ. And get ready to leave this world. Oh, hallelujah. Then God will annihilate our past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So where will these earthquakes come from? Our past. Look, friends, if you don't get your scars, your issues, your problems taken care of, they will destroy you from within. Look at the earth itself when God created her. Maybe after verse 2, maybe in verse 2, whenever she comes up in these great tectonic plates, that he divides the surface of the earth. And we know how an earthquake happens, relatively understand how it happens, that the pressure underneath the earth, the crust being miles and miles and miles deep, and then these plates that are sliding back against one another. You're hearing it like I hear it. We hear it so much it's becoming common to us. In the last 3 or 4 years, how scientists are saying, just read it while I was gone to Switzerland, that scientists are now saying the big one is going to be bigger than we ever thought. Because now they found another one that's going down beside this one and more pressure building up. And we're way past due for another big one. Oh my. And they explain how that the pressure builds and the pressure builds. What is it? Well, it's in the earth herself. In her past. In her spirit, as it were. In her flesh, as it were. Is all these issues and all these problems. Come on now, say amen to it. It's the same way with you. Don't you see why you need to be in the house of God? Why you need to be in a ministry that is preaching the word that helps you to relieve the pressure? Unless you annihilate yourself and your wife and your children.
because the pressure so builds in your life. Oh, I ain't got confidence in preachers. I ain't this and that and the other. I've been hurt by preachers. I have too, but I still believe in God's word. I've been hurt by people, but I still believe in saints of God. God is a God that will bring to pass his promise. Despite your hurts, despite your disappointment, despite the pressure of your plates, we've got to move on. We've got to move on, or it will destroy us. Hallelujah. When volcanoes erupt, where do they come from? The earth itself. You can blame me, you can blame the church, you can blame your wife, you can blame your mother, your father, but when are you going to start looking at reality and look at the eruptions in your life and realize these things are coming from within me? So here's the earth with these scars that are embedded within her. And yet she's making more and more and more. I'm so glad the sovereign God will refuse to allow the earth to destroy herself. Aren't you glad he stopped you? Well, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that. You know what you'd have done? You'd been like the earth. You would have destroyed yourself. You would have exploded. Your pressure would have built up. Your place as it was striking one against the other. And then something's got to give. I ain't serving God no more. I'm sick of it all. There's too many hypocrites in the church. I'll tell you one thing, this and that and the other. Oh, my. But the grace of God come and give you a pressure valve. Amen. To let off a little bit of pressure. I'm going today, but I ain't going back. And boy, that preacher gets up there, and I mean, he reads your life from the beginning of the sermon to the end of the sermon. You said, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. He said, that's all right, honey. Go ahead and let off the pressure. And then you go to, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What are you having? A little minor tremor. Oh, glory to God. The end of the service, you said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You're letting off the pressure. You're letting off the tremor instead of it. Quit. So those of you that criticize me dancing, sometimes it's not that I'm feeling such exuberant joy. I'm having a few tremors. I'm letting off a little bit of pressure. It's much better to let it off in the form of dancing. Hallelujah. See, you see, friends, the world is going insane. They don't know what to do. They're looking for peace. They're looking for satisfaction. But we have found a place to let off the pressure. We are not going to self-destruct. We are not going to annihilate ourselves. We are going to be changed. So here she comes in her new birth. She's so beautiful. At this time, of course, she's standing up like this. There's no polar caps. Temperature is the same all the way around, not just in the equator. Now, the mystery of God written in love is many times written in color. And as you know, God apparently loves green. You ever notice how many shades of green there are in the leaves and the grass and the trees? And you travel different parts of the world. God loves green. Apparently, green and blue must be two of his favorite colors. Look at the sky. Now, can you imagine how weird it would be if the color of the sky was the color, forgive me, Brother Greg, but the color of Brother Greg's sweater, red? Oh, it hurts your eyes all the time. It'd just be so weird and so strange. So what did God make it? A pleasant blue. Now what if the grass would have been brown or zebra striped? I like this shirt. It's a neat color. But wouldn't that be weird for grass? I mean, wouldn't that really be strange for grass? See, like, even in the way that he made it in the spectrum of colors and the way that the earth itself is made, he chose colors that would be so pleasant. Science broke into it years ago. According to whatever type of atmosphere you want to produce, doctors will either hang wallpaper or paint your walls a certain color that will help calm and, whether or not you understand it, sedate, in a sense, the patients that are coming in. Because colors have a great reflection on us, because we're color ourselves. So colors coming out of the spectrum of the rainbow, and which he chose to make all things, and it's so absolutely so beautiful and so perfect. Yet beneath all of the beauty is the record of our past. It belches beneath us today. Off of the island of Hawaii, in Indonesia, in Bali, in different parts of the world, you see our violent past as it still erupts. Even though the work of the new creation has started on her, you see part of that elementary design by God coming out of her that was there millions of years ago. The volcanic activity. What is it? Even though the work of God is going on the earth, she's still expressing her human weakness. Praise. Children, don't never think as long as you're immortal, you're ever going to get this thing perfect. You can forget it. You can forget it. You're going to have a carnal, sticky nature as long as you're in this life, and it's going to bother you as long as it lives. That's right. But one day, it'll be buried. It won't bother you no more. Why? You've still got this written in your geological past. Oh, my mama, my uncle so-and-so did so-and-so to me. I don't trust people. I don't trust them. I can't trust nobody. I can't. Don't you see what you're doing? You're spewing out of your being. Your geological agents are still spewing out all this hate, all this distrust. I don't trust people. You can't trust nobody no more. That's a lie. Not only can you trust God, God's got some people on this earth that can be trusted. Quit spewing out your past. Let your volcanic mouth shut up. Lord Jesus. Well, I know you won't believe this, but I'm just now getting to my text, St. John 3:3. I'm still at the bottom of page 1, so let's go ahead and read the bottom of page 1 and page 2, and then we'll close. Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So if you go back to the dust of the earth and enter into your mother's womb, the mother earth, can you be born again? I think. Can a man enter his mother's womb and be born again? Now, if you're born of the first tree once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born of the man tree, which is Christ Jesus, you'll only die once. Because if you go by the way of the grave and you enter into your mother's womb, the earth, he will call you out of that womb. Amen. In a resurrected, glorified body. Amen. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, partakes of the nature of the parent, of course. As the parents are corrupt and sinful, so the progeny or the offspring of those type of parents are corruptible and sinful. You'll agree with that? I hope you'll agree with the next part. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. A man that is regenerated by the Spirit of God, his flesh It's not what's born again. That's why you can't trust this animal. It'll lie to you. It will deceive you. It will tell you nobody loves you. It'll tell you you don't belong. On and on and on and on and on it goes. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You imagine Jesus sitting here now and he times this within milliseconds of telling Nicodemus this, because he's coming in the evening time. Those of you that said the patterns of the weather of the Mediterranean, you know that in the evening is when the wind would start blowing. So Jesus starts talking to him and he paces himself in order to say his words just exactly right. So he talks about being born again, and right before he goes into this verse, let's just imagine a wind comes through and hits Nicodemus on the face. And Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So is everyone. So you can't tell from where they come from and where they're going. As the wind is invisible, so were you. So were you. And as the wind passed through and hit Nicodemus' face that day, so the seed of God passed down through time when you were born and landed in you and you caught the breath of life. Oh, it come from my parents? No, absolutely not. It didn't have nothing to do with your parents. It come from your parent. Amen. Then you were born again. But beneath your ages. I wonder how deep some heroes is. What records it holds in your spirit and in your body. Things that you fight to this very day. Stand together. Wow. You see, the skeletal remains, the dinosaur's footprints, the geological span and the strata. The prophet tells us in that day on Calvary in 1960 that Satan's soul sinned. He has a soul. His soul sinned. And he said when Jesus died on the cross, the rocks that was in the earth got shook up out of the earth. He said it was the same rocks that Satan had walked on up and down the earth when this belching out of the earth with fire and brimstone. So the devil's footprints, as it were left in the stones. So when Jesus died at Calvary, the earth belched out. Satan's footprints and exposed them out of the geological ages. And Jesus said, it's coming. It's on its way. He's walked all over us. By our birth, by people, by parents, sometimes grandparents, aunts, uncles, people you work with, whatever more. Come on, saints. He's got his footprints all over you. Praise God. It's heartbreaking for us, I know, when we lose our loved ones. And we think, oh my, you know, we say to one another, we comfort one another and say, well, they're not suffering no more. They're in that other realm and they're there and that is true. But there's no way we can comprehend what they walk into when the seed merges into the theophany. When the seed of God actually leaves the body and merges into the theophany. Therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany for the first time in their knowing existence, they have now embraced eternity. While they're here in time, they're still pulling it through their understanding and through all the humanity level. For the first time in the field, they have eyes that can see from there to there. They know the existed before in the mind of God. Suffering is over. That's right. Suffering. That's us. That's time beings looking. Well, they're not sick no more. They're not suffering no more. That's not even nowhere near what they have entered into. They come up and they can see across the way. As Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. So related to it, let me close. As the moorings on the dock and the ship is tied to the moorings, they loose the ropes and the ship is pushed away. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. The soul comes out of the body, steps into a theophany, steps up across the river of death, steps up into bluegrass about this tall. There's either mama, daddy, child, whoever it is, young, changed back to a young person. Can you imagine Paul and them has been there for thousands of years? They're not tired of it. They're not going anywhere. They're not bored. Amen. How many saints have we buried from our church here that's there waiting? Not just young, not in just bodies that ain't sick no more, but into an eternal existence which was created, prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Oh, praise God. Guess what? Your geological past will be dropped. No more memory, no more shortcomings, no failures. Then in the resurrection, God will call you a new earth from the earth. No dinosaur footprints. No old age. Look at me, friends. Look how much I've aged since I've been your pastor. Of course, y'all have too, but don't tell nobody. Look at me. I was a young man when I come here 30 years ago. Dark hair, hardly no wrinkles. Look at some of you all. I mean, some of y'all had hair then. I mean, what is it? The dateless past, our geological record. We're getting older, slower. Can't think like we used to, good Brother Jim. We slowed down. But thank God the change is coming. Can you imagine the earth, even in the millennium, won't get it? God will allow atomic fire at the end of day 6 to burn on the earth, and the earth will be cleansed. But sin will still be after the millennium. It would be unbecoming for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to strike on the earth and then Satan be raised out of his prison at the end of the millennium. You understand? So what will he do? Allow atomic fire to come. The new city will not come down. Not then. Then we'll go through the millennium. Satan will raise up people that's lived on this earth with us in glorified bodies. And they'll make their choice. I don't want to serve God. The earth still contains her geological past. But then once that's done, then holy fire from God out of heaven comes. You're raised up off of the earth together. And for hundreds of feet or miles, whatever it is, goes plumb down to the last geological record. She'll totally be renovated. There won't be one footprint left. There won't be one fossil left. A new earth. For our new people. Amen. Praise be to God. Don't you love Him? Don't you want to be there? Will you deal with your past? Of course you will. Will you deal with your makeup, your humanity? You will. But start using your millennium authority. Lion, lay down by the Lamb. Don't you understand this, what you're doing? Lion! Lay down by the Lamb in my soul and shut your mouth. Don't you growl. Don't you dare think about lamb chops. Lay down there and lay still. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. You're the boss, sir. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Yes, you said, brother, I can't do it. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you can do it. Let's pray together. I imagine Lord Jesus when the king of Turin walked down his accomplishment and achievement after all of the labor and all the work. He must have felt so happy that they had done it. Now they could tour the galleries of the markets and the shops out of the inclement weather. The people must have seen him on the street, and when they'd see him there in the rain or shine, whatever the weather was, and they'd say, "Oh, King, thank you so much. This was a tremendous idea. It was a lot of work, and it cost us a lot of taxes. Thank you for doing it." Oh, Lord God, when we gather around your throne that day, not the King of Turin, the King of France, the King of Spain, but the King of eternity, we'll gather around your throne as your battle-scarred veterans, as it were. The tears will be wiped out of our eyes. We'll cry for one last time. It's as if, oh, the geological ages will be gone, forgotten forever. Every trial never come into view again. Every test we've ever walked through, every strain of our life, it'll all be gone. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us missing. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, may the Spirit of God move in our hearts and give us a greater determination than ever before. Lord, many of us standing here today as myself, they carry the memories of hurts, the memories of people lying on them, the memories of people turning against them. We all understand those things. But some carry it deeper than others. The scars may be layers and layers of strata thick in their lives. But as you made a beautiful paradise over the top of that strata, so God, make me a Christian that is fruitful. May my life be transformed into a Garden of Eden. Out of my mouth may living waters come. May sermons of life, sermons of deliverance, sermons of resurrection and power. But Lord Jesus, don't just do it for me. Do it for every hunger heart here today. We believe the transformation of Eden is in process now. So Lord, help us that our past, our volcanic ages, will not destroy us. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? Oh, praise God. Praise God. We worship you, mighty God. We bless your holy name, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, oh God. Hallelujah. May the fossils of my life be covered over with great, beautiful trees. May the river Euphrates and Pison come down through the garden of my life. And as the scripture says about the Garden of Eden, the bdellium was found there. And the gold of Havilah was in the garden. And the gold was good. And there was four rivers, and they come down to make a head. But over all of that was the great creative work of your hands, your voice. But beneath it lay the past. May the rivers flow down through our lives. May the gold be good. May the faith, the trust, may it be good. May the birds of paradise flow from our branches. May the fellowship in our church be so wonderful that people can't wait to see one another. May the fellowship in our church be so wonderful and the leaves be so full that we're able to come under one another's fellowship and shade. May our grass be so full of nutrients. For we know in the Garden of Eden nothing was carnivorous. Everything was eating vegetation. So no life was being taken. And yet underneath all of this was the scars, the pain, the death of millions and billions of animals. But look what you've done with it, Lord. If there's one here today that don't know you this way,
May the Spirit of God, I pray, come near. May you begin a new work in them, a good work called the new birth. May you quicken the seed to life. And may the volcanic of their mouth, the volcanic of their spirit, the volcanic movement in their being start coming to a place of silence. And the volcano of corruption and the volcano of anger stops to flow. We know that volcanic dust is one of the most fertile of all the dust upon the face of the earth. And in time, volcanic ash can begin to produce trees and grass and plants. Oh, Jesus, turn us into a Garden of Eden. How many wants that for your life? Maybe you're standing here today and you're a barren island as it was. You've just got the record of volcanoes where you've exploded over this and that and the other. Let God speed up the process of time in your life. Turn these rocks of your attitude into dust that is so fertile for His seed word. Oh, praise God. That as you're hearing the ministry of the words and the seeds start falling down in that former rock, former hardness of your heart, it breaks it down through the acids and all of that, turns it into dust that is so fertile. And you become a Christian. Before you were violent, had such a temper. Now you're so forgiving and so gentle. Where does it come out of? Look deep down beneath there. There's a human nature, like grandpa, like so and so. But what did God do? God changed those rocks into dust that becomes so fertile. Oh, praise. How many wants it, children? It don't do no good for me to preach it to you if you don't want it. It don't do no good for me to talk about it if you don't want it in your life. Let God turn you and me into such a Christian. Oh, praise God. Praise God, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. That He can look at you and say, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor and spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. With all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes. With all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. And streams from Lebanon. Why? Because Lebanon was snow-capped mountains. And in the summer melt, the waters would come from the tops of the coal peaks, start coming down into the land of Jerusalem. Let God melt our hardness. Let God melt our strenuous, difficult attitude and turn it into a stream of water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just raise our hands, can we? While in the presence of the King. Where do you find yourself today, friends? Are you like a barren, rocky island that just has all this residue of volcanic rock? It's so hard that nobody can walk on it. It's so difficult. Animals can't live on it. There's nothing, no sustenance. Do you find yourself so different toward God, toward the church, toward saints? You have nothing good to say about anybody. You're so critical and so harsh. You're not a Garden of Eden. I don't care what you think. A person with that attitude is not a Garden of Eden. The volcano has barely cooled off of your attitude. But let God speed up the process of time. Through the winds and the rains and the difficulties, transform that rocky island of your heart into a paradise. Let it cool off. Don't let your mama, don't let your daddy, your friends, don't let past dealings with preachers keep you so hard and so difficult. If you're going to leave this world in the rapture, you're going to have to be gentle as a dove, as a lamb. You're not going if you're hard and smart-mouthed and difficult. Forget it. Forget it. You're not going in the rapture. We must be like Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Help me, Lord Jesus, I pray. Pass me under your great skin today, Lord. See if there's any volcanic rocks of bitterness, anger, strife, anything, Lord, that's unlike you. Sharpness, anything, Lord. Oh, Jesus, may the process of time be speeded up in my life through the natural acts of nature, as it would be with the wind and the rain, as it would turn a barren island into a paradise. Lord Jesus, may you blow upon us today, Father. May the presence of God take these rocks out of our hearts, the stony places, Lord Jesus. May it be broken down into fertile dust. May the mixture of all the composite of all the elements and the chemicals that are there, may it be changed. Praise God. Either your spirit will annihilate these rocks, or we will become spiritual Pompeii Christians. We know the mount, the great mount by which Pompeii was built near. She had erupted in times gone by, yet the people lived a licentious, filthy life, as if though time would go on. You have allowed it, Lord, no doubt, even in their destruction. Even this very day as we talk, they are still going to and sifting through the dust of Pompeii. They found people that were captured in stables. They found a man and woman that apparently tried to run outside of Pompeii. They found them encrusted and captured for time as they were standing there embracing each other, as they were kissing. A mother with babies in her arms. Animals in the stall. And yet it erupted and captured them as they were. Lord Jesus, we don't want anger. We don't want bitterness. We want the Holy Ghost to tame us, Lord.
Amen.
To change us. Oh, that might be in our past and it might do all of that sort of thing. But let the wind of God pass over our hearts, Lord. Oh, make our hearts fertile. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. May love and joy, meekness and kindness, temperance and gentleness and faith. May it grow out of what used to be a rocky, stony heart. But through the passing of the elements of time has now been changed into a fertile Christian's heart. Praise the Lord Jesus. Cover over my scars, Lord. Bring healing to these people here today, I pray, Father. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. How many wants the Holy Ghost to pass by your way? Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Come near us now, Lord God, I pray. Hallelujah. Minister healing, deliverance, peace, power, salvation. Make us, Lord, like Brother Terry preached to us last night, Father. Turn our desert, turn our volcanic island into a paradise. May we be transformed into a Garden of Eden. Instead of mean and wretched and vile, may birds of paradise fly from our branches. Instead of anger and animosity and strife, may we become as gentle as a little kitten. May peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost flow from our rivers. May our gold be good gold. Praise God. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's sing something together. Let's raise our hands now. Children, please don't walk out of here today with that old cold hardness in your heart. Let the Holy Ghost move on your heart. If there's anything in your heart, your life today, that needs to be made right with Him, it's simple, really. It's quite simple. Just let the Spirit of God deal with you. Let Him take your fears, your inferiorities, your complexes, your rejection over the years. Let God take that. Let Him transform that rocky island
into a paradise. Oh, praise God. Where Satan tried to plant distrust in those rocks and hide it beneath the boulders. May Jesus break up those boulders and turn it into gentle, smooth, easy to plow dust. Let the Holy Spirit plow the furrows across that dust and sow those seeds of trust, honor. And you who you thought would never trust another preacher, what you'll find is that little sprout of trust coming up in your life. Before long, it'll be knee high. Before long, it'll be head high. Before long, it'll be heaven high. Because God has transformed you into a Garden of Eden. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's just sing together. Let's just let Him pass His way. Would you? Would you just open your heart to Him before we go? I know I've held you a little bit long. I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry. I'm just so glad to be back home with you. I'm glad when we'll really be back home. Let's sing together. Let's just worship. Whatever your needs is. Hallelujah.
Mercy, re-roll my life. God's mercy, re-roll my life. I should have fallen, my soul.
The Word of God discerned our sister's heart today, knew what she needed. Let me tell you, there's more of you here today that's got all kinds of rocks of resentment, rocks of bitterness. You've been rejected because you were poor, because of your color, because of this and that and the other. Why don't you let the gentleness of the Holy Ghost come by your island today? Oh, don't let that volcano start erupting again, but let God stop that eruption and turn you into a Garden of Eden. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lay aside your bitterness. Lay aside your rejection of this and that. You are accepted in the Beloved. You could not be accepted in a better place than the Beloved, my friend. Let mercy come by, not just to save you now, but let mercy come by and turn your island into a paradise. Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. I should have fallen. My soul cast down, but mercy rewrote. Everybody together now. Hallelujah. lay all your rocks upon the altar. Just dump them on God. Let God demolish them and turn them into dust. Let God transform it into a paradise.
God's mercy.
Hallelujah. God, I bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus, deal with the hearts of your people, Lord, I pray. Pass by this way this morning, Lord. You've come by your word. Now come by the administration of the angels of God. Minister, Lord Jesus, I pray. May the angelic beings of God pass through this assembly today, Father. In the name of Jesus, may they minister to those who are heirs of righteousness of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be gathered together today. I pray, Lord, it made sense to the people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work you have done in this earth. Carol told me the other day after hearing me deal with this son, she said, I felt so sorry for the earth. I cried. She said, I felt so sorry for it. Seeing what the earth had been through. Judgment after judgment has been upon her. And I told her, yeah, that's true. And the worst is yet to come. For she will experience before long such cataclysmic changes. Such nuclear fallout around her. But you had her in your mind. Praise God, you'll not allow her to be destroyed. No doubt Satan would love to destroy this earth. And I don't doubt in my mind that if he could, like a man that loses a fort or loses a place, he'll not leave it to the enemy, as it were, but he'll torch it and burn it to the ground before he leaves. No doubt Satan would love to annihilate this earth before you take it over. But her name is on your book. It gathers at the end, after the millennium, to try to fight. But you will not let him destroy it, as you will not let him destroy us. He can shake us up. Oh, yeah. He can cause us problems. But you will not allow him to destroy us. We thank you for that too, Lord. And thank you, you won't allow us to destroy ourselves. Abraham, Moses, how many could we name? They would have destroyed themselves by their own choices in life if you had not sovereignly stepped in. We would have done the same, Lord. But your mercy kept us. Your grace. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Go with us now as we leave. May you help us, Lord, minister to us. Give us strength, I pray. Go with the saints now, Father, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
Amen.
You've been blessed today to be in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In a month from now, or two, or six, or whatever, hopefully the King be able to walk through the galleries that he's laid out in our life. We'll say, that is so interesting. What is that? That is so beautiful. Well, actually, sir, that used to be a rock in my heart. I was so hard. But in that Sunday morning service, I learned how to surrender myself. And through the process of time, that changed, that dust, and it become this fertile ground that could produce this harvest. And it's for you. That's what we want to produce in you. God bless you, saints. I love you. You love one another?
Yeah.
Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them, God bless you. It's been good to be in church with you today. Well, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. I'm on my way to Canaan land. Oh, I'm gonna be a fruitful predestinated Christian.